This is Sin Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Around the country, around New York, the stories you're talking about, the stats you need.
Packers looking to strike first. Fake it. Rodgers on time, a strike to Jimmy Graham. Touchdown, Packers.
The edge you need.
Brees gives it to Kamara. He's got a huge opening. And he's able to get past the secondary. Take off for his third touchdown of the game.
These are the moments you won't forget.
19-yard line. Darn it, back to pass. Over the middle and picked off, flag on the field. Tashaun Gibson, the man who hauls in the interception.
This is Sin Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Here's your ball game. Fourth down. Desperate time. Oh, he tried to lateral it. He was trying to lateral it to Sanders. And instead, it goes down to the ground.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
Coming to you live, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden on this rainy Sunday morning in New York City. It is Sid Sports Sunday for a week 5 of the National Football League, brought to you by Ramsey Mazda and a host of others. And what a show we've got planned for you today, folks, until 10 o'clock this morning. In fact, coming up next hour, as the Giants look to get their second win of the year, a tough one today in Carolina against the Panthers. We'll talk to the all-time Giant great, a guy that I think is the best football player ever. I've got him ahead of Tom Brady, Jim Brown, Jerry Rice, you name it. The great number 56, Lawrence Taylor, will be here. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Also, the Hockey Rangers started the season last Thursday. And, of course, we do more than just football on this show. Rangers got it going on Thursday night. They lost at home 3-2 to Nashville. Willie Lousy showing last night, a 3-1 loss in Buffalo to the Sabres. The Rangers will play their third game of the season in Carolina, like the Giants, both the Giants and the Rangers in North Carolina. That's later on tonight, and we'll talk to one of the best players on the Rangers, number 22 in your Ranger program, defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk, will be here today. And this hour, and this guy's a great guest, he's a wonderful author. His book on Derek Jeter, As Good As It Gets. His book on Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, As Good As It Gets. He's an ESPN radio host, and his new book is out called Belichick. We'll talk to the very talented Ian O'Connor coming up this hour. Talking about Belichick, week 5 of the NFL did start Thursday night. Record-breaking night for Tom Brady. The Pats do it again. They beat the Colts easily, 38-24, and they improve New England to 3-2. And they're right there again by the top of the AFC East. The Dolphins are 3-1, but Dolphins have a tough one in Cincinnati today. So we're going to go around the league as we do. We've got 5 stringers at the biggest games of the day, including the Giants in Carolina for the Panthers, the Jets hosting Denver at home in about 5 hours. But we'll start today with fights, I guess. I guess you can call it fight. I don't know. I'm a boxing guy. I know boxing is dying. HBO, no more boxing. Showtime, maybe no more boxing. But I love boxing. I've never liked UFC. I've never liked MMA. I understand the whole Conor thing. He's entertaining and blah, blah, blah. Don't like the sport. Never did. And last night in Las Vegas, they did feature UFC 229. Look, my co-host mornings, and I say this all the time, and I'm just right. I'm just right. Bernie and Sid in the morning is the best morning show in the country. And if that makes me brash or arrogant, tough. It just is. You know, tomorrow, for example, Chance Palminteri, Peter King, Vern Lundquist. It's just an array of different genres every single morning. Now, Bernie, he loves UFC. That's his favorite sport. And Mike Gunzelman, the very fine executive producer of this show, he loves it too. So Bernie and Guns like it. You know it's for morons. And I love both of you guys. It's a stupid sport. The fighters are just, they're so over the top. It's like, and I know, listen, they're real athletes. They beat the hell out of each other. They're tough guys, but it's wrestling. And what happened last night in Las Vegas, above and beyond the fact that McGregor lost again to the big Russian Khabib, which Gunzelman, I think, were you surprised?
It was wild.
Now, you know that Conor was an underdog last night.
Oh, believe me, I lost $100 on it, yes.
Okay, so the result of the fight was not a big surprise. But what was a bit, not a big surprise, because the fans are degenerates, worse than the boxers, the fighters, I should say. But what was a bit of a surprise was the melee that occurred in the ring, outside the ring. Las Vegas last night was 10 times worse than any Mike Tyson fight. In fact, Tyson even tweeted that. I mean, people died after Tyson fights. Tupac got killed after a Tyson fight. I was there all those fights. Fights in the lobby of the MGM. But this last night, this was despicable. Wild. You guys love it. Wild, great, low lives.
The fighter Khabib jumps into the crowd and attacks a member of the crowd won.
Dana White says this guy may not be able to get back into the country. Dana White's not happy about it. By the way, he hasn't gotten paid yet, Khabib. They're holding his purse because the police got involved. I mean, just, you know, the sport to begin with. I know you guys, it's good. The sport to begin with. I know other people like it. I'm not saying, you know, I used to make fun of NASCAR. Listen, lawyers, doctors, scientists, they like NASCAR, and they like this sport too. But I promise you, the two idiots that jumped in the ring after the fight and punched McGregor, and the people duking it out in the lobby after the those were not doctors and lawyers, bro. Okay? They were not. So anyway, Khabib wins the fight, and then I guess he's got some type of beef with McGregor and McGregor's corner. Is that right, Guns?
Yeah, they literally hate each other. It was Russia versus Ireland last night, it was wild.
Doggle. So he's got a beef, so the fight ends, and then Khabib, what does he do? He runs over to Conor's corner and starts hitting people?
No, he jumps. He climbs over the cage after he wins and fights people in the crowd that Conor was friends with.
Oh, so Conor's friends in the crowd, he starts beating
up.
Yeah,
and then
it's like Nicky Fatio at a Boston Bruin game.
He goes to fourth row and just starts throwing haymakers at people in the crowd. It was...
Now, when did this... how long into the fight was the fight over? Did
Fourth round, he choked out McGregor.
Choked out McGregor in the fourth round. All right, so Khabib's in big trouble. They held his purse. His visa may be revoked, I guess. He gets the win, but in essence, he really lost. Here's Khabib after the fight.
I know this is not my best side, you know, this is not my best side, you know, I'm human being. I don't understand how people can talk about I jump on the cage, you know, what about he talk about my religion, he talk about my country, he talk about my father, he come to Brooklyn and he broke bus, he almost killed a couple people, what about this?
Sounds like Trump and the Democrats, if you ask me. Well, he said it first, and then I said it, then he said it, then I said it. By the way, how exciting was that yesterday? I know we're not doing politics like we do on Bernie and Sid in the Morning on this show, but I watched all that college football yesterday, and a lot of drama, a lot of drama. We'll talk to Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com later on this morning, but that Kavanaugh confirmation, and that's a win for America. That's a big win yesterday. You know how I feel about Trump. You know what I do on Monday mornings and the rest of the week. That is a big win. That's a more important win, Kavanaugh, than Khabib beating McGregor. But maybe the most important win of all yesterday, the most important win of all, came courtesy of Aaron Judge.
Swung on, there it goes, deep left center. It is high, it is far, it is gone! A three-run home run for the San Chino. Oh, scary Gary, it's a three-run blast in the deep left center field seats. And the Yankees take a 6-1 lead.
Yeah, that was a big home run. Judge had really set the pace with the home run early. Sanchez would hit two more later. Two of those home runs, Judge and Sanchez, off of David Price, who just can't beat the Yankees. He can't win a postseason game. You know, David Price is now 0-9 in 10 postseason starts. That's unheard of for a guy making that type of money and really that good during the regular season. But the Yankees get him. Again, Sanchez, the big night. Judge, good night. Tanaka pitched well. Beat the Red Sox. Now, Boston took a 5-0 lead in game one with Chris Sale on the mound. Yankees came back, lost 5-4. Since the Red Sox took that 5-0 lead, the Yankees have outscored the Red Sox 10-2. They've been the much better baseball team. That series is now 1-1. You get game three with Luis Severino on the mound tomorrow night in the Bronx. He is Aaron Judge on the Yankees coming home.
We can't wait. You know, I know our fans are waiting for us to come back home, you know, especially with this, you know, series tied, you know, 1-1 like that, and we got two games at home. It's going to be huge, you know, so we just got to keep going out there and playing our game and see what happens.
Monday and Tuesday in the Bronx, if need be, the game five. The tiebreaker would be Thursday night. the rubber, I should say, in Boston if, in fact, the Yankees don't take the next two in the Bronx. The other American League series has the Astros, who won the World Series last year. They're already up 2-0 on Cleveland. They got two great pitching performances out of Verlander and Cole. The NL resumes today. The Brewers won the first two in Milwaukee over Colorado. Game three in Colorado at about 4:30 this afternoon. And the team that I think is the best team in baseball, the Dodgers, who took the first two from the Braves in Atlanta, in LA, I should say, in Atlanta tonight for a game three. Newcomb on the mound for the Braves, and this kid is so good. Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers. But it is a week five of the NFL, as I said. And we like to do this at the beginning of the show and late in the show as well. It's something we like to call Around the League.
Hunt.
Around the League, brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Upgrade your boiler today with a 95% efficient Peerless Boiler Combi. Start saving big on your heat and hot water bills today. Go to peerlessboilers.com, put in your zip code, and find a friendly dealer near you. Remember, Peerless Boilers, America's best built boilers. Let's start off with game number one today here in New Jersey, the Jets. Remember they won that first game against Detroit? Everybody was so excited. Darnold and the Jets. Well, they haven't won since. Find themselves now with 1-3 and fresh off a really lousy effort against Jacksonville. The Broncos, they lose to Kansas City on Monday night. They're at 2-2. They're in town. It's the Broncos at the Jets. Peter Schwartz, WCBS and WFAN, is live at MetLife Stadium. My dear buddy Peter. Peter, good morning. The Broncos at the Jets.
Good morning, Sid. It is the beginning of a three-game homestand for the Jets today and a critical matchup for them, as you pointed out, 1-3, three straight losses. This is also a battle of two struggling quarterbacks in this game, not just Sam Darnold for the Jets, who has not completed 50% in his last two games, but also Case Keenum of the Broncos. He has not thrown a touchdown pass since week one. He's got three touchdown passes and six picks on the season. Injury-wise, the Jets without cornerback Tremaine Johnson today. He's out with a quad injury. So far, Todd Bowles does not think it is a season-ending injury. Safety Marcus May questionable with ankle and foot injuries. He was limited in practice all week. The Broncos have won five of the last six meetings against the Jets. It is Kids Day at MetLife Stadium today. Lots of WWE superstars are on hand, so the Jets will be looking to lay the smackdown on the Broncos. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Peter Schwartz. Now back to Sid in the studio.
Thank you, Peter. Broncos 2-2 with the Jets 1-3. This is the best matchup of the day, no doubt about it, at Arrowhead Stadium, where the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-1 will take on the undefeated 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs with Pat Mahomes at quarterback. All he's done, by the way, has thrown 14 touchdowns in four games and played to a quarterback rating of about 127. From the Kansas City Star, live at Arrowhead, here's Brooke Pryor. Good morning, Brooke.
Hey, Sid, it is chilly and rainy out here at Arrowhead. It's about 55 degrees and absolutely pouring. Might clear up a little bit by kickoff, but it's not great for tailgating right now. Not that that's going to stop anyone. With the weather today, I would look for both teams to lean on their run game. For the Chiefs, that means it's going to be Kareem Hunt, who's coming off his first 100-yard game. Hunt had the winning touchdown in Denver earlier this week, but that game wasn't all good for him. He got fined nearly $27,000 for unnecessary roughness for engaging a defender with his helmet. And when the Chiefs do decide to throw the ball, Patrick Mahomes will be facing one of the best defenses in the league. The Jaguars have allowed just one 300-yard passing game since the start of the 2017 season, and they allow an average of just 14 points per game. Mahomes has 14 touchdown throws and no interceptions, but he'll be going up against corner Jalen Ramsey, who's already done his fair share of trash talking with wide receiver or punt return specialist Tyreek Hill this week. And for the Jaguars offense, look for TJ Yeldon to be the guy to watch, because with Leonard Fournette out with a hamstring injury, Yeldon's going to be the go-to guy on the ground. He's a fourth-year guy who's battled plenty of injuries in his career, but with, like I said, with Fournette out, he's going to be the guy that this offense runs through. Against the Jets last week, he had 18 carries for 52 yards and a touchdown, and he caught three passes from Blake Bortles for 48 yards and another touchdown. Kickoff is at noon Central, and the Chiefs are a three-point favorite. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, Brooke. Big game today in Philadelphia. The Vikings off to a very slow start, winning just one. They did tie once in their first four games, taking on the reigning Super Bowl champion, but just 500. 2-2 Philadelphia Eagles, one of the best guys in the business. Harry Mays is in Philadelphia today for the Eagles and the Vikings. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Sydney. Vikings-Eagles 425 at the link today in a very important NFC game for both teams and really could be deemed a must-win game for the Vikings this early on in the season, who sit at 1-2-1 coming off a loss at the Rams 10 days ago. Now, the 2-2 Eagles, they're smarting from an overtime loss at the Titans, where they blew a 17-3 lead in the second half, and they really need to figure out a way to protect their young franchise quarterback. Carson Wentz, who's been sacked 9 times in 2 games already and hit a bunch more since returning from knee surgery. Offensive line breakdowns and issues with running backs on blitz pickups have led to all the hits on Wentz. Look for a left guard shuffle today. Seumalo may be in for Wisniewski. The Eagles' defense will be without Derek Barnett at defensive end, and they're going to need to step up against Minnesota's aerial attack with Kirk Cousins ranked 5th in yards passing per game in the league. The Eagles will also be without Darren Sproles, and the Vikings are expecting Dalvin Cook, or not expecting Dalvin Cook to play, rather, as he is battling a hamstring. Minnesota will also be missing Tayshaun Bauer and Everson Griffin at defensive end, and cornerbacks Trey Waynes dealing with a concussion and Marcus Sherrills with a rib injury. Temperatures will be in the mid-70s at game time with a chance of rain late. The Eagles are favored by 3. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Harry Mays at the link.
Thank you, Harry. Great job. Here's an interesting matchup today. Both of these teams playing sub-500 football. Hard to believe. The Falcons, they've won just once, taking on a Steeler team fresh off a loss to the Baltimore Ravens last Sunday night at 1-2-1. Heinz Field, the Falcons at the Steelers. Rich Walsh, KDKA, standing by in Pittsburgh. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Sid. Now, this isn't your grandfather's Steelers team. No wins at home and no run game. This run game has been non-existent at best. 19 total yards rushing last week against Baltimore ranks as one of the worst in franchise history. And a big reason why the run game has not been effective, they've had to abandon it early in games. The Steelers have been outscored 42-6 in the first quarter of games, 35-0 at home, and that's been the biggest issue. You have to get away from the run game at that point. We talked to Juju Smith-Schuster a couple days ago. He said this week has been the most detailed week of practice, so they're hoping to change that around. Meanwhile, the defense is getting Mike Hilton back in the secondary. He's one of their biggest playmakers, a couple turnovers the other game, which they need against guys like Julio Jones and Kelvin Ridley, but they will be without their signal caller, Vince Williams, today, who's out. Now, these two teams are Super Bowl favorites, one of them before the season, and after only 5 games, the loser might be basically out of contention, so it's a huge game for both teams. In Pittsburgh, I'm Rich Walsh. Back to you, Sid.
All right, thank you, Rich. And when I started my career way back when in this business, I worked at Sportsline USA in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was doing internet radio for about 2 years until I got my first real shot at terrestrial radio in 1999 and the morning show at 102.7 WNEW FM up here in New York before The Fan in 2001. When I started my career, this was a young kid at Sportsline USA. I liked him a lot. Knew he had a tremendous amount of talent. He is now the go-to guy for many, many years in Charlotte, North Carolina. His show is the Mac Attack on WFNZ. He's in Carolina for the Panthers and the Giants. Haven't seen this kid in over 20 years, but this kid's a superstar. Chris McLean on Sid Sports Sunday. Good morning, Chris.
Oh, man, with that build-up, Sid, I hope I don't screw this up. I feel the pressure.
You'll be fine.
I feel the pressure. Sid, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Panthers coming off a bye week here in Charlotte at 2-1. Giants come in struggling at 1-3. 1 o'clock kickoff. Expect Carolina fall weather, which means it'll be close to 90. It's unbelievable, the heat down here to fall. NFL high 7-game win streak for the Panthers at home. They're tied with the Panthers in that category. They play great at home. You look at the Giants, they've lost 8 out of the last 10 on the road going back to last year. The Panthers, it's simple. They want to pound the football on the ground. Number one rush offense in the league, 166 yards per game. Christian McCaffrey, in his second year, is becoming that full running back that everybody expected when he was taken in the top 10. 184 rush yards last time out against the Bengals. And the Giants, they got to pick up the run defense. 29th in the league. The Saints got them for 170 on the ground last week, so that's a matchup to watch. On the other side of the ball, I don't need to tell you, Sydney, the Giants offense has been woeful. 29th in scoring offense, 18 points per game. and that's Giants offensive line. 15 sacks allowed in four games, and the Panthers' strength, they're known on defense for that defensive front. Panthers' pass rush, been a little slow to get going. This is a game where we're looking at it in Charlotte and saying, if you don't get going today, you may never get going this season. So can they protect Eli and get into all those weapons? We're going to find out. It's going to be very interesting to see later on today. 1 o'clock kick here in Charlotte. And Sid, sending it back to you in the studio. Good luck to your G-Man, bro.
Thank you. Great job, Chris McClain in Carolina. The Giants look to avoid a 1-4 start. We'll take a short break on Sid Sports Sunday. So much to come. Ian O'Connor, Lawrence Taylor, Shattenkirk from the Rangers, Brandon Lee doing fantasy, Danny B on the picks, and a new segment with Mike Gunzelman and B-Mel Brian Melman, producer picks at the end of the show. We're coming right back. Sid Sports Sunday.
Let's go!
Don't miss a minute of Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Get him on demand when you want it.
Let's go! It's time to play!
OGPodcastNetwork.com and WABCRadio.com.
Back here, Sid Sports Sunday. By the way, Bernie and Sid in the morning, 6 to 10 every weekday here on WABC. Monster show tomorrow. Vern Lundquist, one of the best play-by-play voices in the history of sport. He'll be on Bernie and Sid tomorrow. Peter King, the great congressman out of Long Island, on the show tomorrow. Chaz Palminteri. Who doesn't love Chaz from a Bronx Tale? Tomorrow, of course, Columbus Day. He'll be on Bernie and Sid. And the very famous comedic actor Tom Arnold. All four of those guys on Bernie and Sid in the morning coming up tomorrow. It is time for our fantasy football. We put this time aside each and every week. You can catch her on Twitter at Brandon Her FB, and of course, she writes for the Atlantic Sportsline as well. Our weekly fantasy guest, it is Brandon Lee. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Sid?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for asking. How could I be better? I'm on the phone with you. I'm talking football. Come on. It's all great. And you're great. Hey, let's start with this one. The Falcons are all beat up on defense, all beat up. Steelers can't stop anybody either, by the way. But I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger today. He's got 1,414 yards so far, 8 touchdowns and 5 picks, playing to a quarterback rating of about 90. But this is a do-or-die game for Pittsburgh at Heinz Field today, Brandon. I'm thinking Ben might be the right guy to start against a banged-up Falcon defense today. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And typically, when he's at home, you want to play him. Now, he didn't do great against Baltimore, but Baltimore's kind of, you know, his kryptonite, right? But against Kansas City, he scored over 40 fantasy points in one game, you guys. That was nuts. Another beat-up secondary, another defense that doesn't stop anyone. So I see a repeat as well this week when he's playing against the Falcons.
All right. Panthers hosting the Giants today. All Christian McCaffrey did last week was rush for 182 yards. Guy's getting 6 yards a carry, and the Giants can't stop the run. I got to think McCaffrey's a go-to guy today, yes?
Yeah, absolutely, and it'd be really fun if he could score a touchdown. Cam Newton has 3 this season. Amra has 1. McCaffrey has 0.
Wow.
Bizarre world that we live in. But yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty darn big game for him.
All right, Chiefs and Jaguars, best game of the day. You got the best defense in football for the Jags, the most explosive offense. Mahomes has thrown 14 touchdowns in all 4 wins, plays to a quarterback rating of about 127. You'd want to start this guy every week, right, Brandon? But what about this Jacksonville defense?
Oh, yeah. And in terms of fantasy, last week was definitely his worst week. He still scored just under 26 fantasy points. That's his floor. So, you know, we may see a new floor. I still think it'll be in the 20-point range. So for fantasy, those are great numbers. You still play him. But, yes, this is going to be his biggest challenge. But, man, he's facing them in Arrowhead. That's a really good circumstance to be in.
Talk about some running backs. I think Joe Connor today for the Steelers. And Odell will be back week 7 for Pittsburgh. But Connor today against that Atlanta. Some other guys are going to throw at you that may be interesting. Joe Mixon, Bengals against the Dolphins, and maybe TJ Yeldon for the injured Leonard Fournette. Jacksonville, Kansas City doesn't stop the run. What do you think about a guy like TJ Yeldon today?
Yeah, I think you have to start T.J. Yeldon because there's so many injuries. Speaking of Joe Mixon, you know, they said they don't think it's going to be a full snap count for this guy. You definitely want to keep your eyes out. This is why you need to be looking at and listening to radio all the way up until the second that they kick off the ball, because all of a sudden one of these guys like does a little something funky before the game, and all of a sudden he's not sitting anymore. Right. He's not playing anymore. That happened with Marcus Mariota, remember, when he was suited up, and then they sat him the whole game. So, yeah, but T.J. Yeldon, he's someone that I'm definitely looking for. They're going to have to score points. Jacksonville has to score points.
Yes,
so,
Kansas City is going to find a way to score, even against the best defense in the National Football League. One more, Brandon. Everybody wants one of these every single week. A lot of pressure on you. I get it. But who is the Brandon Lee sleeper of the week for a week five of the NFL?
Oh, sleeper of the week. Oh, man. You know what? I think that if you're going down the line here and you're looking at everyone here, I think that the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets actually have a lot of people that no one's going to play. Quincy Enunwa has 8 or more targets in all but one game. Quincy Enunwa is the man there. And if you look at what people are able to do against the Broncos, it's those short passes that people have been able to kind of get off the ground here. So I actually think Quincy Enunwa is going to be very high full point PPR play that almost no one's going to play because they're playing the Broncos.
I like it. Okay, Brandon Lee, of course, you can find her stuff again at Twitter, at Brandon Her FBB, and she's on The Atlantic as well. Is that not right, Guns? What are you telling me here?
Ask her for her Twitter.
Brandon, what is your Twitter, your exact Twitter address?
You know what? It's Brandon Her FFB as in fantasy football.
Oh, yes, Brandon Her FFB, fantasy football. That
close,
makes sense.
Close, really close.
Close enough. Hey, listen, you were great again. You're great every single week. Enjoy the football today, and we'll talk again before a week six next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, great job, Brandon Lee. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, Patriots beat the Colts to start week five on Thursday night. They put up 38 points. They're back to 3-2. In fact, the Dolphins loss to the Bengals today will put the Patriots right back in first place. There's a new book out. It's titled Belichick, and it's written by Ian O'Connor, one of the best sports authors in the business today. We're going to talk to Ian O'Connor on his brand new book, Belichick, right after these words.
In bed with Sid, a dream come true. Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, every Sunday.
Man, oh man, they can't stop us.
77 WABC.
So week five started, of course, with the Patriots, fresh off their demolition of the Dolphins last week. Looking very good again, right? Went out there and beat up the Colts, 38-24. Tom Brady breaking all kinds of records, 500 touchdowns, whatever the hell he's got, I don't know. But they look terrific. They're now 3-2. They've won 2 in a row. They're always a topic of discussion, and it looks like they're back. All right, talking about the Patriots, this guy is one of the great authors we've got in sports today, and I mean that. His book on Derek Jeter, his book on Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, what a great book. He's a tremendous writer, and his new book is, in fact, about Bill Belichick, the coach of the Patriots, and it's titled Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. He's my friend from ESPN, Ian O'Connor. Welcome to Sid Sports Sunday, Ian. How are you, pal?
Hey, great to be with you, Sid. How are you?
I'm great. Great to have you. Every time you write a big-time book, you come on with me, and they're all great. Looking forward to this one, being a lifelong Giant fan and, you know, talking to Lawrence Taylor earlier the week about Bill Belichick when he was the defensive coordinator for the Giants. I guess you have to say, Ian, that kind of helped shape him for what he's become today up in Foxborough.
You know what's amazing, Sid? In talking to, even before LT, George Martin and other Giants from that period of 79 through like 81, they had no respect for him whatsoever, beyond what LT says. I mean, yeah. It was like if Belichick asked you to turn off a light switch on the wall and you were a Giant, you basically said, this is what George Martin told me. No, you do it. They treated him worse than a ball boy. I was blown away by the stories that those early Giants told me about young Bill. They saw him as a disheveled mess, as a guy who was the product of his father, who was an established coach at the Naval Academy. They thought he was a daddy ball guy. He looked younger than they did. He practically was. And they just didn't treat him with any regard whatsoever. And then by the time you get to the mid-'80s, they're like, we're more like Belichick guys than we are Parcells guys. So the transformation from lack of respect for Belichick, treating him like a practical joke, to we now see ourselves more aligned with him than with Parcells is pretty amazing when you think about that period of time with the New York Giants.
Well, it seems like that was the case just about all of his stops. I mean, I remember he had that one 10-win season in Cleveland. It wasn't his fault that Vinny Testaverde thought that the other guys were on his team, the Steelers especially. But reading your book and reading other things about Belichick, seemed like the guys in Cleveland with the Browns, maybe outside of Carl Banks, kind of felt the same way, no?
Well, and it's kind of funny because George Young, as you recall, the GM of the Giants, borderline Hall of Fame, probably should be in the Hall of Fame, and he hated Bill. And Bill, I think, felt the same way about him. But he thought he was never going to be a successful head coach. And Chris Mara, John's brother, told me he was in a room in Giants Stadium, a conference room once, where George Young said that. This man, meaning Belichick, will never coach this franchise. So they had no belief in him when he goes to Cleveland. And it looked like they were proven right. The players couldn't stand Bill in Cleveland. I talked to a lot of Browns in this book who said he just didn't connect with us. We didn't feel like he cared about us as people, therefore we didn't play for him. We didn't win for him. That changed in New England. And Anthony Pleasant, who played for him as a Brown and also as a Patriot, said there was a big change even early on in 2001, and he looked Bill in the eye and felt like he was connecting now with them on a human level. And he said, I want to win a championship for you. And I know for a fact that no Cleveland Browns ever said that about the Cleveland Bill. And, hey, the guy learned from his mistakes. And even though you don't see it in his press conferences, the public persona hasn't changed that much. Privately, behind the scenes, one-on-one with players in his office, he's much better, or has been much better in New England than he ever was in Cleveland.
The great author Ian O'Connor, ESPN, the book is out, Belichick, the making of the greatest football coach of all time. I know that, and I talked to Parcells a couple of years ago, with Lawrence, by the way, on FAN here in New York 3 years ago, and when Bill handpicked him to replace him as the Jets head coach, and Belichick decided after one day, nah, I'm not going to do it, goes to New England, that really did cause a major rift between those two guys, but I guess that's all been resolved, yes?
Well, listen, Sid, they've never been friends. And I think it's all been resolved, well, to what extent. Certainly their relationship is better than it was right after he left the Jets, and Parcells was extremely angry about that. But Belichick was very angry about the way Parcells treated him those 3 years with the Jets. Big Bill weaponized Little Bill's failure in Cleveland against him. And he was a lot rougher on Belichick with the Jets than he ever was with the Giants. And I think that was the chief reason why Belichick went to the Patriots and walked away from a good Jets team. Testaverde doesn't blow out his Achilles in week one that year in 99. Maybe they go to the Super Bowl. That team was favored to do that.
Yep.
So I think the Parcells-Belichick relationship is fascinating. Obviously, the two Bills, NFL Films and ESPN, it was interesting to see their body language in the same room trying to resolve their issues as they were talking. But they were never friends, and I don't think they're ever going to be friends. It is better now than it was back then. And there has been some repairing of that relationship. But they didn't speak for years.
Yeah.
And I ultimately believe that had Parcells maybe treated Belichick differently in that three-year span with the Jets, Belichick might have stayed and coached that franchise, and we wouldn't be talking about the Jets never being in a Super Bowl since man stepped on the moon, which is hard to believe.
Right, Joe Namath, 1969. You're right, that Jet team the year before went to the AFC Championship game and lost to the Broncos. And, you know, Curtis Martin fumbled, that never happened. Keith Byers fumbled, but they were very, very close. Hey, Ian, let's talk about New England now. The beauty about this book is you really go into some fine details about some of the big controversies, whether it's Spygate. I want to get into all that, but what is the real relationship? Let's get right to the bottom line, Ian O'Connor. What is the real relationship between head coach Bill Belichick and his superstar quarterback, Tom Brady?
Always transactional. In other words, all business, no love, no warmth. They've never been to dinner even once, Sid. And so now, that said, it's the greatest coach-quarterback partnership in the history of the league. So it worked. Who cares if they liked each other or loved each other? They didn't. They had great respect for each other. And Tom always knew Bill was the best coach in the league, and Bill knew that Tom was the best quarterback, if not the most talented quarterback. And so the partnership worked until last year. And last year, with Alex Guerrero, that situation, the benching of Malcolm Butler, which really angered Brady, and just 18 years of unforgiving, unrelenting coaching by Belichick caught up to Brady. And my sources told me in late March even he was thinking of walking away rather than playing one more season under Belichick. Now, they survived that meltdown. In a way, Sid, it's almost remarkable. It took 18 years to get to that point where they had this fracture. But I think they're okay now. I think it's functioning. I think they're going to win one more ring together in the next 2 to 3 years. I don't know about this year. That roster still looks a little thin to me. But it's functioning. And when Brady has needed love and affection, because he's a pretty warm guy in talking to many of his friends, he gets it from Robert Kraft. That is the bromance. And when those two have issues with Bill, they talk to each other about them. They live right next to each other. And so Brady gets that affection from the owner that he has never gotten from Belichick, the coach.
Well, you talk about marginalizing his trainer, Alex Guerrero. You talked about benching defensive back Malcolm Butler before the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles. But one thing you did not mention just now, Ian, that you do mention in the book, which is also an issue between Belichick and Brady, is I guess you say that Belichick thought that Brady was guilty in Deflategate and maybe didn't do a very good job of expressing what really happened.
Well, I'll say this, and this is what I reported in the book. In the early days of Deflategate, okay, and you saw Tom Brady, that first press conference was a very wobbly, indecisive performance by him. Belichick wasn't alone. There were a lot of people in that organization who had serious doubts about Brady's claim that he had nothing to do with this, okay? Now, when some science came in, particularly New England-based science, that said, hey, maybe it was the ideal gas law, or it was the ideal gas law that could account for this. Then they rallied around that, and they put aside their doubts about Brady, and it made sense to do that. The circumstantial evidence still is what it is, and Brady's performance in that press conference, I can tell you this much, Brady's family, his camp, if you will, was very unhappy that Belichick dumped the whole case in the quarterback's lap. You remember what Belichick said. He said to reporters, you go ask Tom about his preference as it relates to game balls. I don't know anything about it. So that was Belichick saying, Spygate was my gate. This gate is going to be Tom's gate. I'm not taking two of these. And I actually believe Belichick had, if Deflategate happened, I believe he had nothing to do with it. I really do. And I talked to many people around the league who don't like Bill, who believed his story on Deflategate. Didn't believe his story on Spygate, that he merely misinterpreted the rule. They clearly thought he intentionally cheated in that case, but actually did buy his explanation as it related to Deflategate. Now, whether you disqualify him as the greatest coach ever because of those two cases, if you do, I think that's a fair opinion to have. It's just not one that I share.
No, me either. I actually do think he's the greatest coach of all time. No disrespect to Vince Lombardi or Don Shula. I know David Moranis likes this book as well, by the way, or Don Shula or Paul Brown or Chuck Noll, Landry, I don't care. I do think Belichick is the greatest. Although I will tell you this. Belichick has had success in one place, Ian. One place, okay? Had the right quarterback, thank God for the Bledsoe hit. What if I said to you, a better coach would be a guy that went to three or four different places, i.e. Bill Parcells, Giants, Jets, Dallas, New England, and took four different franchises to the playoffs or made them better franchises by the time he left. Is that not a better barometer of somebody who's a great coach rather than one terrific stay?
Well, I think it's a fair point to make, but you have to look at Parcells' record without Belichick. It is not good relative to Parcells' overall record. So I would subtract a pretty big chunk from your argument based on that. Joe Gibbs is the guy who never gets put in the conversation. He won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks who are not in the Hall of Fame.
And almost, and by the way, and was almost had four. Jay Schrader lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship game.
Well, yeah, he certainly isn't. He belongs in the conversation. But I think Belichick is one, Lombardi is two. I went to St. Cecilia High School in Englewood, New Jersey, where Lombardi coached. So that's a tough thing for me to say. Paul Brown is three. I think Paul Brown, his last 15 years as a head coach, he didn't win a single postseason game. That's a lean stretch. Lombardi, had he lived longer, we're having a different conversation. He probably wins two championships or so in Washington, but unfortunately, tragically, that didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen, I got to tell you. And again, Lombardi is lore, and I love him too. You know, giant coordinator, obviously the great years in Green Bay. I got to put Shula up there ahead of him. I mean, Shula won in Baltimore, had great teams, went to Miami, won with Greasy, never won a Super Bowl with Dan Marino, but Shula did it in two different spots.
Yeah, and I would put and it'll be interesting to see if Belichick coaches long enough to try to break the wins record that Shula has. He's still a long ways away from it. He'd have to coach another 7 years to get there. But Shula called him Belichick, and I know that had to hurt.
Yeah.
Because Shula was always one of the coaches a young Bill looked up to. So we'll see how long he sticks around. I think Belichick and Brady have one more ring in them. I think they'll get to six. And I think that will secure, he'll break the tie with Lombardi. and I think that will secure his status as the greatest ever. I don't even think he needs it because, as you know, Sid, the NFL of today, and Lombardi didn't have to deal with player movement and free agency. Belichick, you look at the free agency, the salary cap, the draft, and the schedule, all designed to prevent you from doing exactly what he's done, and that is build a dynasty in the modern NFL, which is almost impossible to do.
That is a great point. Last one, I make the argument Bill Belichick, like you do, is the greatest NFL coach of all time. I really believe you've got a new greatest coach of all time on Saturdays now, and his name is Nick Saban at Alabama.
Right.
And I know those two worked together in Cleveland with the Browns. I read in your book it did not go very well. So here you've got the greatest NFL coach up against the greatest college coach. And according to your book, not much love lost between those two guys.
Well, at least at the end anyway, Saban was there 4 years, and they did have that great year together. They went 11-5 and beat Parcells in the playoffs in 94. But Saban was frustrated with Belichick on two fronts. One, he didn't let Nick talk to the media enough. Believe it or not, Saban wanted to get his name out there for head coaching opportunities, and he was very frustrated with that. And Rob Burnett, who was a Pro Bowl defensive end in 94, he said he had many conversations with Saban where he was frustrated with Bill over how conservative his game plan was. Saban wanted to be more aggressive, use some of the things, blitz packages that worked in practice during the week, and Belichick wouldn't let him. So listen, they're longtime friends with great respect for each other, and that's in the book as well. But there was tension there, and at the end of the 94 season, it was time for Saban to get away.
By the way, once again, Derek Jeter, the book was great. Arnie and Jack, the book was great. This one right there, one word says it all. Like Ian O'Connor says, Belichick, the making of the greatest football coach of all time. If you like the National Football League and the lore that is the Patriots, this is the perfect book. You really are a tremendous writer, Ian. I mean, I love you. You're a good friend, and you're great at all this stuff, but you're a tremendous writer, and this is an unbelievable book, a must-read for any NFL fan. So thank you so much.
Well, Sid, coming from you, that really means a ton, and I mean that, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Ian O'Connor, ESPN, buy his book today, Belichick. Short break, more of Sid Sports Sunday, right after these short messages.
Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Every Sunday, 77 WABC. 77 WABC. Free Sid, free sports thinking on demand on the free WABC radio app.
Back here on Sid Sports Sunday, I spent a couple of minutes talking college football, as you do each and every week. Joe Lisi, his website is the best, gofor2.com. It's gofor2.com, Joe Lisi. Hey, Joe, Alabama did it again yesterday. They put up a 65. Clemson, they needed an easy win. They get it. They beat Wake Forest by 60. And how about those Georgia Bulldogs, Joe Lisi?
Yeah, great win by Georgia at home in Athens over Vanderbilt. I mean, number two team in the country, said over 560 total yards of offense. I mean, this is a team that you have to look about for the college football playoff, but more importantly, does play LSU next week in Baton Rouge. That will really dictate whether the Georgia Bulldogs are a college football playoff contender.
Well, you mentioned LSU in the swamp yesterday, the Gators. Man, they've come all the way back. It's been a long time since Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, but they look like they're back, especially that defense. They look vicious. That was a huge win for the Gators, who now go to 5-1 like LSU over the Tigers in the swamp.
Yeah, great victory. They forced Joe Burrow into two interceptions and, more importantly, rushed for 215 yards on an LSU defense that only entered that matchup giving up 103 rushing yards per game. And LSU won three of the last five by 7.2 points per game. Florida's a team that you have to keep an eye out for the SEC, but they do face Georgia in 2 weeks. So we'll see how Dan Mullen and the crew do, but this is a team that's trending in the right direction.
Alabama clearly the best, then Georgia, then you get a bunch of teams, and maybe a bunch of teams means the Irish. You know, Virginia Tech lost that terrible game to Old Dominion 2 weeks ago. They go on the road to Duke last Saturday, and they get an easy win. And everybody was salivating as the hometown Hokies about a touchdown underdog to the Irish, and the Irish go in there. This kid, Ian Book, is the real deal. They kill him.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They're doing it on the offensive side of the ball. Book completed 25 of 35 passes, 271 yards, and this was a Notre Dame offense that rushed yesterday for 165 yards on a Virginia Tech defense that only was allowing 84 rushing yards per game entering that matchup. But more importantly, Notre Dame forced the turnovers on the road, were able to score off those turnovers. I mean, this is a team that's clearly a different team with Ian Book at the helm, and more importantly, could be a college football playoff contender. They do face USC at the end of the season.
Last one, Michigan, nearly a 3-touchdown favorite at home over Maryland. A lot of people like the underdog here because, quite frankly, Patterson and Michigan have not looked very good. And again, first half, they kind of struggled. They did pull away. What about the Wolverine win yesterday?
Yeah, solid Wolverine win. I mean, this was a team in Michigan that held Maryland to 73 passing yards per game in that matchup, and more importantly, was able to put up over 470 yards of total offense. Now, the reason Michigan is trending in the right direction is on the defensive secondary, but they have a tough three-game stretch. Starting next week, it faces Wisconsin, Michigan State, and then Penn State that will really ultimately dictate whether Michigan is a college football playoff contender.
Oh, last one on that website, GoWithTheTwo.com, your amazing website, Joe Lisi, the best college football website in the country. Congratulations. You guys did pick Mississippi State to get by Auburn, and Auburn made a bit of a late charge in the fourth quarter, but for the most part, Mississippi State was the better team all night last night.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they pounded that Auburn defensive front. I mean, the one thing about Gus Malzahn and Auburn since 2014, Sid, is that they're 12-14 on the road or on a neutral field site. Good teams are able to win on the road. Auburn's just a mediocre team, in my opinion. And Gus Malzahn's a coach that you're going to have to start talking about as possibly being on the hot seat at the end of the year when all Alabama does is win championships. The hot seat is for Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers.
Joe Lisi, great job as always. We'll talk again next week. I love this college football segment with Joe Lisi. Again, check out the website, GoWithTheTwo.com. 9 o'clock hour coming up. We got more Stringers live at the Jet game, at the Giant game. We'll talk to Kevin Shattenkirk, young defenseman for the New York Rangers. And yes, the anticipated Lawrence Taylor interview as well. Plus, a red-hot Danny B, 8-2 over the last 2 weeks, is making his picks. Hour number two of Sid Sports Sunday, coming right at you.
One, two, three.
Sid Sports Sunday, every Sunday. The NJDiet.com studios. 77 WABC New York, Cumulus Station. This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, Sid Rosenberg, the stories, the stats, the edge.
Mahomes, he's going to try to get there on his own, and he does so with ease. Showtime.
The moments.
Brady now over 300 yards for the game, 83rd time in his career, looking for all of it. Unloads to the end zone, caught by Gordon. Touchdown, Patriots.
Every Sunday.
They are second and four. Ben dancing, waiting, throwing, and the catch is made by Brown. Touchdown.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Box snap sets up second and 12.
Bortles has a man. It's Dante Moncrief. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
Sid Sports Sunday live today from the studios at 77 WABC, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden, Midtown Manhattan, the most exciting place to be in the world. Now, we do take this show on the road once in a while. You may remember last week we came to you live from the beach at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Well, Sid Sports Sunday hits the road again next Sunday, and you've got a chance to be there. That's right. We'll be at Bourbon Street in Bayside on Bell Boulevard. Now, they open late on Sundays for brunch. But for this show next Sunday, they're going to open at 8 a.m. How about that? They're going to provide breakfast, Bloody Marys, mimosas, doing the show 8 to 10 from Bayside in Queens, and only inviting 30 of my guests, the VIP guests, to watch the show live and eat and drink like kings. And you can go right now. Be calling number 4 at 212-268-WABC, 212-268-9222, and you get a pair of tickets
thanks to Leslie Slender and the Bourbon Street Cafe, to watch me do Sid Sports Sunday live next Sunday from Bell Boulevard in Bayside for a week 6 of the NFL. Now, baseball, of course, Yankees got the big win last night. Game 3 coming up tomorrow night in the Bronx. That series now been reduced to a best of 3, and the Yanks have the upper hand. They split. That's what you want to do. Luis Severino on the mound for the Yankees. Game 3 tomorrow night. Game 4 Tuesday in the Bronx. If needed, they'll play the rubber game, Game 5 at Fenway Park on Thursday night. Astros are up 2-0 in their series against Cleveland. In the NL, both home teams won both home games. Dodgers up 2-0. They are in Atlanta later on tonight. Milwaukee up 2-0. They're in Colorado later on this afternoon. Conor McGregor, he lost last night, a melee at the end of the fight, resulting in this big Russian guy jumping into the stand, starting a fight. There were arrests, police everywhere, fights all over the arena. Really an ugly, ugly scene for Dana White and the UFC. I know Gunselman and Bernie probably love it, but it's really garbage. It's trash. And the sport didn't look good last night. And McGregor lost, by the way. So all that going on, that's a periphery stuff. But it is week number 5 for the National Football League. And let's head out. As we like to do, we call this Around the League. Thank you, Bruce. Excellent job. Around the League brought to you by my dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Borders. Upgrade your border today with a 95% efficient Peerless Border Combi and start saving big on your hot and heat water bills today. Go to peerlessborders.com. Put in your zip code. You'll find a friendly dealer near you. And remember, Peerless Borders, that is America's best-built borders. Driven by Ramsey Mazda, we hit the road game 1 in New Jersey. Later on this afternoon, the Jets. That first game, they looked great. Beat the Lions on Monday night. Sam Darnold was the next Joe Namath. Well, they haven't won since. In town, a 2-2 Denver Bronco team fresh off a loss to Kansas City on Monday Night Football. Peter Schwartz, one of the best in the business, locally here at CBS and WFAN, is live at MetLife Stadium for the Jets and the Broncos. Good morning, Peter.
Hi, good morning, Sid. You know, the Jets have maintained, even since that first game of the season, that they have seen positive signs out of Sam Darnold, but he has not completed 50% of his passes over the last couple of games. Today against the Broncos, he'll be looking to his main man, Quincy Enunwa, who is having a terrific start to the season, 21 catches for 278 yards. But the Jets would like to see Robbie Anderson get more involved. He's only got 8 catches for 108 yards, so they'll look to get him more involved today. Now, the Jets defensively, a different look today. Now, they're not going to have Trumaine Johnson. He's out with a quad, but also head coach Todd Bowles expected to do the play calling because the Jets will be without defensive coordinator Casey Rogers. Not at practice on Friday. He had an illness. The Jets are saying that it's serious. They're not disclosing what the illness is, but he is not going to coach today. Todd Bowles was visibly shaken when talking to the reporters about it on Friday. So best wishes go out to Casey Rogers. The Jets are not sure when he'll be back, but in any event, it'll be the Jets and Broncos today at MetLife Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff. And for Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Peter Schwartz. Now back to Sid in the studio.
Pete, before you run away from me here, Isaiah Crowell, this is the guy that had the the video of a cop's head being sliced off, which was really, really gross. Now the guy's like wiping his ass, and he gets a sponsorship deal with Dude Wipes. Why does Crowell continue to get rewarded for really being, a lowlife?
Well, you know what? I completely agree with you, Sid. And I was actually really grossed out when I saw that that night, you know, watching the game with my kids. You know, I have two boys who play youth football, and I was disgusted when I saw him do that. So to me, I don't know how you get rewarded for that. If I was Todd Bowles, I would have benched the guy for the rest of that game to send the message.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that's obviously now got a little bit of a checkered history with this kind of behavior. And if I'm the Jets, I keep a close eye, because if this guy does anything like that again, there's no reason to keep him on your roster.
Couldn't agree more. Peter, excellent job as always. Peter Schwartz, CBS, WFAN, Broncos at the Jets. Best game of the day features the best defense in the NFL, the 3-1 Jacksonville Jaguars at the best offense in the NFL, 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs, and their phenom quarterback Pat Mahomes. Brooke Pryor with the Kansas City Star is live at Arrowhead Stadium. Good morning, Brooke.
Hey, Sid. It is chilly and rainy out here at Arrowhead. It's about 55 degrees, and it's just absolutely pouring. But it might clear up a little bit by kickoff, although that weather is not going to stop anybody from tailgating out there. And because the Chiefs practiced in an absolute downpour at training camp on the last day, they might have the edge. But even so, I think both teams are going to end up leaning on their run game. And for the Chiefs, that means that things are going to run through Kareem Hunt, who's coming off his first 100-yard game of the season. Hunt scored the game-winning touchdown in Denver earlier this week, but that game wasn't all good for him. He got fined nearly $27,000 for unnecessary roughness for engaging a defender with his helmet. And when the Chiefs do decide to throw the ball, Patrick Mahomes will be facing one of the best defenses in the league. The Jaguars have allowed just one 300-yard passing game since the start of the 2017 season, and they only allow an average of about 14 points a game. Mahomes has 14 touchdown throws and no interceptions, but today he'll be going against corner Jalen Ramsey, who's already been doing his fair share of trash-talking with wide receiver Tyreek Hill. And for the Jags offense, running back T.J. Yeldon is the guy to watch. With Leonard Fournette out with a hamstring injury, Yeldon will be the go-to guy on the ground. He's a fourth-year player who's battled injuries in his career, but with Fournette gone this week, he's primed for the spotlight. Against the Jets last week, he had 18 carries for 52 yards and a touchdown, and he's a versatile threat. He also caught three passes from Blake Bortles for 48 yards and another touchdown. Kickoff is at noon Central, and the Chiefs are a three-point favorite. Back to you, Sid.
Great job, Brooke. Rematch today of last year's NFC Championship game, but both teams are struggling. Vikings find themselves at 1-2-1 with Cousins instead of Keenum, and the Eagles with Wentz back at the helm, they're just 2-2. One of the best radio guys in the business in Philadelphia, Harry Mays, is live right now at Lincoln Financial Field. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Sydney. Yes, Vikings-Eagles 4:25 today at the Link, and a big NFC game for both teams. As you mentioned, Minnesota sits at 1-2-1, coming off a loss at the Rams 10 days ago, and they could look at this game as an early must-win. The Eagles, 2-2, smarting after an overtime loss to the Tennessee Titans, where they blew a 17-3 lead in the third quarter. And they just need to figure out a way to keep Carson Wentz vertical. He has been sacked 9 times in 2 games and hit a whole bunch more times since returning from knee surgery. They've had offensive line breakdowns and issues with the backs picking up blitzes. Look for a shuffle at guard today. Wisniewski and Siamalu may split time. So that's what's led to all the hits on Wentz. And the Eagles' defense, they're going to be without defensive end Derek Barnett. They're going to need to step up to stop Minnesota's aerial attack. And Kirk Cousins, which is ranked 5th in yards passing per game in the league. Now, the Eagles will also be without Darren Sproles, but the Vikings not expecting Dalvin Cook to play as he's battling a hamstring. The Vikings will also be missing Tayshaun Bauer, Everson Griffin at defensive end, and cornerbacks Trey Waynes and Marcus Sherrills. Now, temperatures will be in the mid-70s at game time with a chance of rain late. The Eagles, the standard 3-point home favorite. And as you mentioned, the Vikings looking to avenge a 38-7 beatdown last January at the Link in the NFC Championship game. Kirk Cousins is 4-3 all-time against the Eagles and 2-2 with a passer rating of 112, 12 TDs, and 3 interceptions at the Link. He plays well there.
Thank you, Harry. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Big game today. Two teams that were supposed to be very, very good. Both right now playing sub-500 football. One-win Falcons against the one-win Steelers, believe it or not. Here's Rich Walsh, and he's live at Heinz Field. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Sid. It's hard to believe the Steelers team is winless at home. 0-2 at Heinz Field. Defense has given up a ton of points in the first quarter of games, and the offense has really underachieved. Now, the Steelers' offense without Le'Veon Bell, who's still holding out but could come back after the bye week, hasn't got off to great starts. Outscored 42-6 in the first quarters, 35-0 at home. And that's one of the biggest reasons, other than Bell, that this run game has been non-existent, always playing from behind. Last week, 19 total yards rushing against Baltimore, ranks as one of the worst in franchise history. Now, I had a chance to talk to Juju Smith-Schuster in the locker room this week, and he told me, this week has been the most detailed week of practice for the Steelers, especially when it comes to the scripted plays at the very beginning of the game. Meanwhile, this defense is getting Mike Hilton back in the secondary. He's one of their biggest playmakers. That'll help against guys like Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. But they will be without their signal caller, Vince Williams, today, who's out. Now, it's a nice day. It's about 70 right now. It's supposed to get up to about 80. And I would expect a lot of offense with these two questionable defenses. Now, these two teams were two of the Super Bowl favorites before the season, and after 5 games, the loser might be basically out of contention, which is unbelievable right now. In Pittsburgh, I'm Rich Walsh. Back to you guys.
Thank you, Rich. One of my best buddies early in my career at Sportsline USA, now a star, hosting the Mac Attack on WFNZ in Carolina. The Panthers today hosting my lousy 1-3 Giants to go out to Chris McClain in Carolina.
All right, Sid. I was trying to dig for the good stats on the Giants to make you feel better, and I didn't
there
find
are
too
none.
Many of them.
There are none. Go to 86.
Yeah, that's right. I should have went to history book. You're right. Panthers at home today against the Giants. Panthers have won an NFL high. Seven straight home games, so they're very comfortable there. Giants come in. You know the deal on offense. Really, really struggling. This week, Pat Shurmur said, hey, that's my bad. Only 10 carries for Barkley last week against the Saints. He's got to touch it more than that on the ground. Panthers have been giving up a handful of big run plays a game. That's uncharacteristic for them. That's something to watch for. Can Barkley break a couple of good ones? And the Panthers' defense, they've been okay, but 13th in the league. That's a little low for the standard that has been set there, where this team is traditionally top seven, top eight defense every year. I found the one good offensive stat for you, Sid. On third down, Eli is the best passer in the league with a 127 quarterback rating. Panthers fourth on third down defense, so that's something to look for on that decisive down. And on the other side of the ball, Carolina's going to want to run this football. Giants 27th in the league in rush defense. Olivier Vernon not coming back this week on the defensive line to help, so McCaffrey and Cam Newton should tote it a bunch. We'll see what happens. Also, Giants pass rush, 5 sacks in 4 games. Panthers offensive line is a makeshift group, but this is a good matchup for him. All right, so in Charlotte, it's Panthers-Giants, 1 o'clock kick today. Back to you, Sid, on Sid Sports Sunday.
All right, great job, Chris McClain. Let's get to Danny B. This guy's on fire, 5-0 2 weeks ago, 3-2 last week. He's won 8 out of 10. You can find him, DannyBSportsNetwork.com, Danny B Sports on Twitter. He's got a great website. Guy is kicking butt. Danny B making his picks.
This segment is sponsored by DBWins.com.
DBWins.com, Danny B. Onkulo, his gorgeous son, Jaden, who should be a model, by the way. He's in studio. Jaden, say hello to everybody. Come on, put you on the mic. Put his mic on. He comes every single week. Usually his wife is here, his little brother, who's a Vodachaya, by the way. But Jaden is here, and he deserves. You've never been on the radio before, right, Jaden?
No.
Well, congratulations. How are you?
Good. You?
Why do you wear a Dallas Cowboy jersey? You know I hate the Cowboys. I'm like your uncle at this point.
He's
I mean, you.
He did that to
his mic on, too, please.
Is my mic off?
Yes.
Now it's on, right? Yeah. There you go. There's DB.
Give the kid talk. Don't take his air time. Jaden, who do you like today? You like Dallas?
Yeah, I like Dallas.
They're going to get their asses kicked by Houston tonight.
Nah.
Talk in the microphone, son.
But he's doing good. He's doing good. Yeah, you did great. All right, so you love the Cowboys and you love your father. Those are two great things.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes.
He loves you all the time. So listen, thank you, Jaden. Thanks for coming in again, buddy.
Welcome.
You're red hot. You're 8-2.
Correct.
So let's – and your baseball picks have been – I want everybody
Insane.
To know, when
Insane.
You go to his website, the guy's been on fire with baseball, still 4 series going on. You got hockey season now. Basketball starts in about 10 days. So it's not just football for the website, which is dbwins.com. What an amazing baseball season. Red hot in football. Let's get right to it, Danny. What's game number one for you in the National Football League?
Well, first, Sid, let me reiterate on something I said last Sunday to you. When I said I'm always right, you said you're not always right.
You're not. No.
What I meant to say is even when I lose, I'm right because I put my money in right.
Ah,
that's all you can do. Even
smart.
When I'm wrong, I'm right.
I like
Because I'm
that.
Putting my money in right with the right people on the right game. So
gotcha.
I wanted to reiterate. And also said, I wanted to let everybody know, over the many years, I've acquired a set of skills. Skills that make me a very dangerous man to bookmakers coast to coast.
Uh-huh.
Skills that I can teach you. Now, if they pay me, I will not pursue them. But if they don't, I will pursue them. I will find them. And I will take my money. Classic, taken.
Very good.
Ah, you like that, my friends?
Hey, you're about to give us some picks here, but as you do every week, you give us winners. But you've got the real 5-star Danny B picks. And if folks want those above and beyond what you're going to do right now, what is that phone number again?
Well, Sid, what I'm going to do, like I did last, anybody that calls 1-800-308-9003, automatically they receive a free membership,
wow.
including... my upset of the day.
How about that? From a guy, by the way, again, that is 80%, the last 80%.
It balances out. You know, anybody that's looking for 75, 80, it's not out
no,
there.
No, of course not.
60%, 58% makes a lot of money.
You're doing
but
great.
Gamblers are not realistic, Sid.
No,
they
want to
hear 65, 70%.
Right.
It ain't going to happen.
Well, you're 80% the last 2 weeks. Let's leave it at that.
I'll be happy
Let's
with
Let's go
that.
With game one today. What do you got, Danny B?
I got Baltimore. I mean, a cheap number, -3 at Cleveland. I know Baker Mayfield. Everybody's excited about him. So am I, but not just yet. I like Flacco. I like Baltimore. to advance to 4-1. Baltimore minus the small number.
Listen, they just wanted Pittsburgh.
Right.
So they should be able to win in Cleveland, right. And, you know, they got those four new wide receivers for Flacco this year, Danny. And he looks like the quarterback that won the Super Bowl over Colin Kaepernick
Correct.
In New Orleans a couple years ago. I like that pick. Baltimore minus the points on the road. Danny B., what's pick number two?
Well, this one, they say a good defense beats an offense, a good offense, right?
They say that, but that's not always the case. I mean,
I heard
Rams...
the weather report. That young lady from Kansas City, she's saying it's going to be nasty out. It's going to take away the air attack. But I still like Kansas City minus the small number of 3.
You like a minus 3.
It's tough, though. I mean, this is going to be a tough game. Defense, offense, weather's not great. But I still have to go with Kansas City to improve to a perfect 5-0.
And Jacksonville did lose 2 weeks ago to Tennessee. They rebounded with a win over the Jets last week. Kansas City, you say they'll go to 5-0.
Yep.
What's pick number 3, Danny B?
Well, again, here's another one. A rematch of last year. Eagles, they embarrassed Minnesota championship game. This is not going to be an easy one, but I like the Eagles to cover the 3. I do. Last week, they let me down.
They blew a 2-touchdown lead against
Tennessee. It's going to happen. Yeah. I had that one in a bag.
Yeah.
Usually I don't count them until they're over. But I like the Eagles at home laying the small number of minus 3.
Well, if you're right, the Vikings will have gone through 5 weeks with 1 win.
It's crazy.
They gave Kirk Cousins a lot of money.
Look what's going on. Atlanta, Pittsburgh.
Oh, I know.
You know?
All losing teams.
I won't touch that game today. I'll stay. And the local teams I'm off of, the Jets and the Giants. I'm going to watch.
I like the Jets today, but you're right.
Honestly, they are getting a little love, believe me.
No, I know they are. I like the over in that Steeler-Falcon game.
Okay, so that's 3.
That's three. What's pick number 4, Danny B?
We're going to swing over to Monday night. Drew Brees going for the record. What, 201 yards he needs to break Manning's record?
All-time Peyton Manning, the all-time yardage leader in the history
Manning.
Of the game.
Not happy feet. A happy feet. We like Washington. Smart money's on Washington.
Wow.
It dropped from 6.5 down to 6. So I locked in at 6.5 with the Skins.
Redskins plus the points
correct.
In New Orleans.
Yes, yes.
Alex Smith.
And they're coming off of a bye week, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's your first underdog, I think, so far today, right? Of the 4.
Yeah, but no. When they call the office, they get the upset. They get the big upset
right.
at 1-800-308-9003. Now, these teasers, they've been good to me. I'm going to take Seattle at plus 7.5. We're going to drag them up to plus 14.5.
This is going to sound nuts. I love the teaser. I like Seattle
to
without
win.
The teaser.
Yeah,
maybe even to beat the Rams today.
A letdown game.
Yeah.
A letdown game perhaps for the Rams. But
that's a Joey Cantone special.
Oh, God, you're in trouble there. Wash your hair.
Go ahead.
Seattle plus 14. He's listening, you know.
I know he is.
Wash your hair. Seattle plus 14.5, and I know you're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
Dallas to plus 10.
No!
Yes, Sydney.
They're going to get
you don't like. You hate my Cowboys.
I just hate the Cowboys.
That's why he wears that shirt every Sunday, and it does smell, too. You can actually smell his little boy body odor
on sure. All right, so get quickly here. We got to run here, but give us the 5 picks all over again.
All right, we're going to start with Baltimore and Flacco. We're going to go to Kansas City to improve to 5-0. Philadelphia minus 3. Skins on Monday, plus the points, 6.5. And my 7-point teaser, Seattle plus 14.5 to Dallas plus 10. Remember, anybody that calls, free trial membership. Get everything I'm doing today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, plus my underdog of the day. It's going to win outright, 1-800-308-9003.
Excellent job. DBWins.com is the website. Danny, red hot, 80% the last 2 weeks. Thank you to Danny Bianculo and his adorable kid, Jaden. What a nice family you've got.
Number 21, yeah.
My man.
Going to run wild tonight, Sid.
I know. Lawrence Taylor, the great Giant, is coming up in about 20 minutes. But we shift gears. Talk some hockey. One of the best players on the Rangers in his second year with the club. They're off to an 0-2 start in Carolina tonight. Kevin Shattenkirk talks puck. Right after these words.
Trying to get my hands on some grants like Horace. Yeah, living the raw deal. Three-course meal. Spaghetti, fettuccine, and veal. But still.
This segment was sponsored by DBWins.com. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host and DBWins.com and do not necessarily reflect those of WABC or Cumulus Media. Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda.
1-3, 1-2-3,
77 WABC. 77 WABC. Spectacular guests.
Yes.
Spectacular picks.
Picks.
Spectacular sports.
Sports.
Spectacular stories.
Stories.
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Spectacular.
77 WABC.
Spectacular.
Huge week here in New York City, of course, all over the country, really, if you're a hockey fan. But we got three teams here. The Devils, of course, in New Jersey. The Islanders in Brooklyn. I'm not afraid to say, even though Denny Potvin will join me next week, I am a lifelong, diehard Rangers fan. In fact, Ron Duguay is one of my best buddies. So with that said, I'm very excited about this guest on Sid Sports Sunday. You see, not just football, not just college football, not just baseball. We do it all. He's number 22 in your Ranger program, coming back after last season where he played in just 46 games after hurting his knee. One of the best defensemen on the team, and that is Kevin Shattenkirk. Shat, how are you, pal?
I'm doing well, Sid. Thanks for having me. How
great,
are you?
Great to have you. Listen, I know you guys are getting ready for your third game of the season later on tonight, dropping the puck in Carolina. But I do want to ask you this, going back before the last two games, going through training camp, new coach, last year Vigneault was there. As long as he was there, here I should say, expectations were playoffs, maybe even a challenge for the Cup. Those are not the expectations this year. To be honest, pal, every prognosticator I read before the season started on Thursday didn't even have you guys making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you tell me, what was it like this training camp compared to last?
Well, I think, those expectations are still in our locker room. I think, every year you start a season, you're not playing, for last place. You're playing to try to make the playoffs and try to win Stanley Cups. And that doesn't change for us this year, even though we have, a much different roster and a much younger team. You have to, put that mindset, into the young players that we have here, especially ones that are going to be here for a while. So, We have high expectations for ourselves. We've been working really hard, and trying to develop a culture here that's winning hockey.
Tell me about you, Kev. You had all those really good years in St. Louis with the Blues, about seven of them. Then you went to the Caps and came here to the Rangers again last year, hurt your knee, only played in 46 games. I feel like for you, this is a big year for you to prove to Ranger fans just how good you are, like we saw in St. Louis. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is, a year that I'm taking, as important as all the ones before. I think it's one that, like you said, it's a chance for me to prove myself. I don't think the fans and the Rangers community got to see, everything that I have to offer. And, luckily now I'm healthy. I'm playing at 100%. As a player and a person, it's just nice to have that that comforting feeling back, knowing that you're able to play to your full capabilities.
Number 22, Kevin Shattenkirk, getting ready. Rangers and Carolina, the third game of the season coming up later on tonight. Now, tell me about the coach. We talked about the difference between Vigneault here and David Quinn. Quinn comes over from Boston University. Everything I've read and seen, Kev, says that he's a real hard ass. Like, he ain't being easy on you guys. First NHL coaching job, doesn't matter. He's going to break your balls till you get it done. Is that a fair description of Coach David Quinn?
Yes, it is. It's in a good way. I think he never lets you off the hook, and that's something that's important if you're a young player and an older player. I think as you get older in your career, you coaches will tend to lay off of you because they think that you know your responsibilities. But it pushes you, it drives you to be better. No matter what, doesn't allow you to take a day off. And for as hard as he can be on you, he's right there to reward you and tell you how good of a job you've done when you do things right. And I think he's just a great communicator, in all aspects. So it's going to be great for our young guys. He really does love coaching and developing players. And, hopefully as an older guy and being a part of that crew now on the team, we're setting good examples for them as well and following in coach's lead.
Now, look, we know how important goaltending and defense is, Kev, but you got to score goals, bottom line, to win games. The roster you've got right now scored 169 goals in total last year. I think Gretzky scored more in one season. But to be honest, that's 30 less than what the Buffalo Sabres scored last year, and they were the lowest scoring team in the NHL. So without getting into the roster, we'll do that shortly. You tell me, very simply, can your hockey team put the puck in the opposition's net?
Yes, we can. No doubt about it. We're a team that this year is going to be hungrier around the net. I don't think we got to the areas we needed to get to score last year, and that was our problem. We wanted to play on the perimeter, and this year we're we have guys who have a ton of skill on this team, but if you don't work hard, you're not going to score goals. And that's, you know, that's simple, right down to even when you're a youth player. So that's what we're getting back into our game. And I think teams are going to be, you know, caught off guard when they're losing games 4-5-0 to us.
Wow. Well, listen, we know about some of the veterans, what we expect from guys like Zuccarello, even Chris Kreider. But some of these young guys have a lot of Ranger fans, Kevin, very, very excited. For example, Philip Kittle, a very exciting player. Even Vinny, he's an exciting young player. Mm-hmm. So give the Ranger fans, give us some of the younger guys on this team that you expect are going to step up and become legitimate goal scorers.
Well, I think, you know, Mika right now is one of our leaders on offense. You know, he's established.
That's Zibanejad, by the way.
Yeah,
right.
Mika Zibanejad, and you know, he's someone that we're going to look to play big minutes both offensively and defensively. Philip Hedl is a special player, very dynamic, tremendous amount of speed, and what he can do with the puck, you know, at that top speed is it's what you're seeing a lot around the league right now, in guys like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews, and you know,
wow.
He's going to be a very special player and, you know, hopefully work his way up into those ranks. You know, it's early now, but, he definitely has, you know, a high ceiling. And, you know, we have guys like Brett Howden, who's a really young player, but plays the game very smartly. And then Finney Letary is a guy who, you know, has a lethal shot, loves getting to those hard areas around the net, and he's a bit of a pest. I think Rangers fans are really going to love him because he loves pissing teams off and plays a little salt and vinegar.
I love that. Now, on that second line with Zuccarello and, I guess, Vessi, talking about Kevin Hayes. It's funny, I actually spent a lot of years down in Boca Raton, Florida, and I covered the Panthers, so I covered his brother for many, many seasons down there, too. But Kevin, his job here with the Rangers on that second line, feel like a lot of pressure on him this year. Is that fair to say?
There is. I think he's, you know, he played under a little bit of pressure last year going into a year that he needed to perform well for contract reasons. And, you know, I think he grew up as well. He matured. He started taking care of himself, you know, away from the ice and in the gym and diet. And, you know, it's kind of instilled in him now. And the thing I've noticed about him, you know, this year, even just, you know, early on, is that he wants to be put in the big roles. He wants to be put in those big situations. And he's someone who's going to be a huge part of our team this year. I think there's no doubt about it. He's going to play a lot of different roles, but he's someone who I think is a leader by his own right. And he, without knowing it, you know, the way he carries himself, people just tend to follow him.
Number 22 in your Ranger program, Kevin Shattenkirk joining us right now. Rangers in Carolina, game 3 coming up later on tonight. On the defense side here, you got a couple of veterans, guys like McQuaid and Mark Stahl, obviously. You're going to be paired up with Smith, right? It's you and Brendan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Brendan.
Tell me about the relationship between you and Brendan on and off the ice.
Well, you know, we're obviously both, you know, new last year coming into the team. And honestly, we both had seasons that I think we wish we could, you know, turn back time.
Right.
But, you know, it's great for us. We both were training in Stanford this summer with Ben Prentice. We poured a lot of time and effort in there and felt like we came into camp as ready as we've ever been. You know, we're looking like we're playing with a chip on our shoulder. And that's all we can do, you know, is prove people wrong and show people that, you know, there's a reason why we've been in the league for so long and why we're still here.
Tell me about Brady Shea. I mean, I think a lot of people think, oh, you're in a pretty good defense corps, by the way. We're with you, Kevin. But a lot of people think Brady Shea could be a superstar. Tell me about that.
Well, I think he's on his way, without a doubt. You know, he's been playing the last few years as, you know, kind of in Ryan McDonough's shadow. And you know, obviously he's a good Ryan was a good player for Brady to sit behind and learn from for the last few years, and now it's his chance to shine. And Brady has every single tool in the book. He can skate, he can shoot, he can defend. It's just a matter of time before he really takes that next step. So, you know, it's on us as teammates, especially me, to keep coaching him and you know, telling him some of the little tricks that I know, but there's a lot of things that he does that I can't do, and it's really fun to just sit back and watch him play.
And the goalie, we know, of course, Lundqvist goes down. He will go down, Kevin, as one of the great all-time New York athletes. Unfortunately, unlike Jeter or Messier, he's not going to win a championship. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. He hasn't won one yet, I should say. But he's certainly an all-time New York great. But I got to tell you, Alex, the backup goalie, I think this kid is terrific. What do you think?
He is. He is. I think, you know, knowing what Henrik has done here over the last, how many years? It feels like he's been here for
30.
But, you know, it's really something that, you know, no one really can test it. And it's a tip of your cap to him. He still works as hard as he does, as hard as he did, I'm sure, as a rookie that he does today. And, you know, the fact that Alex has kind of come to the picture now and he's shown that he's a great little goalie. It's good. It's good. Again, it's what we have throughout the lineup is we have healthy competition, and it only pushes, you know, the older guys to work harder and solidify their spot. And I think it's going to do the same thing for Henrik.
I think Alex is going to get some legitimate playing time this year, too, because Henrik is getting up there in age, and his body can't take the nightly abuse. So I think Alex will see a lot of action between the pipes, and that could be good news for you guys. Okay, last one. Again, number 22 in your Ranger program, Kevin Shattenkirk. Very excited about your season as you get ready for the Carolina third game later on tonight. You're a local kid, a New Rochelle, New York kid. Mm-hmm. So it's a football Sunday, okay? You a Jet fan? You a Giant fan? Who does Shattenkirk root for?
I bleed blue, baby.
Oh, yes!
Fan. All the way through. No
yes!
doubt about it.
So give me more. Are you Yankees, Giants, Rangers, Knicks? What are you?
No, I'm I grew up a Mets fan, actually.
Yes!
My whole family are Yankees fans, but, you know, I don't know why, in spite of them, I just decided to go the other way. But everything else, you know, Giants fan, Knicks fan. And obviously a Rangers fan growing up. So.
Fantastic. We've got the four exact same teams, Kev. I'm a Met fan, a Giant fan, too. By the way, the Rangers have a brand new pick plan. It's a ticket option. Fans get the ability to pick where they want to sit and what games they want. This is incredible stuff. If you want to see the Islanders one game and the Bruins next, you can do that right now in the pick plan option. Check that out, folks, at NewYorkRangers.com/tickets. Well, Kev, listen, stay healthy. Good luck. I hope we talk again a couple times throughout the season. You're a great interview, by the way, so good luck on the ice, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Sid. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Shattenkirk, I should say, from the Rangers. By the way, this week's injury report, sponsored by Manhattan Sports Medicine and Wellness Group, dedicated to helping New Yorkers lead physically dynamic lives free from pain. MSM Wellness, the leader in sports rehab and physical therapy. Visit them at MSMWellness.com, both for the Giants. Olivier Vernon, defensive end, obviously, and their tight end, Evan Engram, are out for the Jets. Cornerback Trumaine Johnson will not play against the Broncos later on today. We'll take a short break. When we get back, the great football player of all time, certainly number 56 with the Giants, is the greatest of all time. Never lost for words. You're gonna love this. The great Lawrence Taylor, right after these words.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, every Sunday. 77 WABC. Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, every Sunday. New York sports and more. 77 WABC and the free WABC radio app.
Let's get out here with a W.
Everybody put your hands in the air.
All right, back here on Sid Sports Sunday, there's always an argument, who's the best NFL player ever? Some say former Cleveland Brown running back Jim Brown. Some say former San Francisco 49er wide receiver Jerry Rice. Some say current Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Let me tell you something. Best NFL player ever. Terrorized quarterbacks and offensive players for 13 years between 1981 and 1993 with the football Giants. Number 56, Lawrence Taylor, who over the years has become a very, very good friend of mine, loyal. He's helped me out. I love him. And here he is on Sid Sports Sunday, the great number 56, my friend, Lawrence Taylor. Good morning, Lawrence. How are you, pal?
Hey, Sid, what's going on, baby? I'm on my way to the golf course. You know that, baby.
I do know that. You have become quite the golfer over the years, and I know you love golf. Hey, wait a second. Is that Tuesday game, Lawrence, still the game with, like, Ray Allen and El Duque and all the sports guys?
Yeah. That's our Tuesday. We're on our way to that Tuesday game right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. You know, when the season started, President Trump got involved, and it was all about these players kneeling. So I kept thinking, I'm like, I wonder, you know, LT loves our country. I know you've done stuff in the past for our men and women in the service. And I can't imagine LT taking a knee before a football game. If, in fact, you were playing today, what would you have done?
Well, you know, like I say, I can't even think about what I would have done today. But we back. Hey, I'm old school. Listen. Unless Bill Parcells is on his knees, I ain't on my knees. Okay.
It's really that simple, right? Whatever Coach Parcells told you to do, you did it, right?
Hey, if Bill's on his knees, then I'm on my knees. But if he ain't on his knees, I ain't on my knees. Okay.
That's great. Hey, old school works. You guys, you know, it was tight-knit. You guys listened. These days, yeah. It seems like the players don't always listen to the coaches and the owners and the general managers. It's just different, man. It feels different, right? I mean, when you were playing, Bill gave you the respect that you deserved and even gave Bill Sims the respect that you say, Lawrence, yeah, he didn't necessarily deserve, right?
Well, I mean, but it's a different, you know, what do you say to a guy that's making $20 million a year? You know, what do you say to him? He pretty much does what he wants to do.
Yeah,
I mean, God, the money is so big, you know. People now, because they're such high paid athletes, they don't want to get hurt. You know what? They don't want to get hurt. You know, you know, back in my day, I didn't mind going out there and like a bunch of crazed dogs. And I didn't mind it. If I got hurt, I'd get the same check at that Walmart, okay? You know?
I mean, look, you make good money for your time, Lawrence, but when you consider where you are as the greatest defensive player of all time, and you see what you just talked about, Lawrence, the amount of money some of these guys are making. Now, look, you live a nice life. You're down in Miami. You get to play golf every day. But is there a certain part of Lawrence Taylor that is pissed off? Like, if you're making that money, I was 10 times better than you.
Yes, I mean, yeah, of course, you know, yeah, we sit there and I would think it's impossible for older player or a good older player to not even think about what they would have to, if I was playing now, it would be Giant and Taylor Stadium. I'm telling you what,
Oh, man, you're so right. You're so right. Hey, you know, talking about the Giants right now, though, Lawrence, I mean, you guys won those Super Bowls, and then, you know, Tom Coughlin came along and Eli won too, but with the three wins last year and a 1-3 start this year, I don't know how much you've seen of the Giants this year, but I got to tell you, watching them play last Sunday doesn't remind me at all of you guys, you know, when you guys are winning.
But shit, let me tell you something. I mean, hey, they are starting to gel. I mean, the defense is starting to gel.
Yeah.
Okay, the defense is starting, and this, you know, you, if you can't play good defense, you can't win in the NFL. All right. So the defense is starting to gel. I tell you what they need. I'm gonna tell you right now what the New York Giants need. They need a tight end. They need a tight end. They need a tight end that can, like a Gronk type of tight end or Hernandez type of tight end. Some guy that can threaten the middle and catch the dead goal 12 yard out. And because, you know, they got some good receivers. They got one great receiver, Beckham. Then they got some really good receivers. They need a tight end to stress that field. They need a tight end to open up Barkley, more. I mean, that's what they need. They need a tight end.
No, listen, it's funny because you say that, Lawrence, and even though your teams were, well, the championship teams were about defense, you especially, and then you made other guys look good. I mean, I tell it to Leonard Marshall all the time. He still gets pissed off. But you know, George Martin.
Hey, listen. If it wasn't for me, Leonard Marshall would have been working in a donut shop. Please stop.
I tell him that. He gets so effing angry.
I'm just kidding, Leonard. I'm just kidding.
No, but you brought up a very good point that even though your team was great on defense and Sims had some great years and Joe Morris and O.J. Anderson, and even Hostetler, the one guy that really, it seemed like every year, Lawrence, came up with huge plays at big times on the offense was 89, Mark Bavaro, right?
Oh, yeah, Mark Bavaro, you know, shit. And I talk, but every time somebody says, Mark Barbaro name, just like I'm doing now. I just stopped the car and stood up and saluted, because wow, that son of a bitch can play, man.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm telling you, that boy can play.
Yeah, yeah, I remember him carrying Ronnie Lott on Monday night against the 49ers. Hey, Lawrence, I know you've talked about this before, about 3 minutes to go, and we'll get you out there to the golf course. What are your thoughts on Belichick? I mean, the Pats blew out Miami last week. They were back in the Super Bowl last year. He ran your defense. Parcells was the coach, but he was your coordinator. Are you surprised, Lawrence, that Bill Belichick now is being referred to as the greatest head coach of all time?
I'm telling you this. You know, Bill, I'm always going to be a Bill Parcells type of man. You know, they sit there. I'm always going to be standing beside Bill Parcells. I'm always going, hey, I'm a Bill Parcells man. But don't turn your head, because I may sneak over to the other camp, too. You know? Hey, because that Bill Belichick, and listen, he is no joke. I remember when Parcells first named him as defensive coordinator for the New York Giants when Bill became the head coach. And I went into a Parcells office, and I exploded. I'm like, oh, hell no.
Really?
Not him.
Wow.
Yeah, no way. No, we ain't playing for that son of a bitch. No. And Bill, and he set me down. He said, listen, let me tell you something. He knows what he's doing. Most of the defense that we play right now are Bill Belichick's design. So we gave him a chance. And don't get me wrong now. Well, Belichick was never, hostile to each other. But,
right,
you know, hey, it's like, you know, Bill has a personality that is all homemade. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it, you know? But if you want to understand the defense, if you want to understand, what we do on Sunday, if you want to apply maximum pressure to a quarterback, you're going to have to listen to Bill Belichick. Excuse me for saying it, that some bitch. that some bitch. He knows that game. He's as mad as he can get you during the week is how happy he can make you on the weekend.
On Sunday night, right. So a minute and a half to
absolutely
go. I want to ask you about two quarterbacks. We'll let you run. You're the all-time greatest Giant. You're the all-time greatest player in the history of the game, Al Lawrence. But other great...
thank you.
No, you are. Some other great Giants, anybody from Phil Simms to Frank Gifford to all the way back to that. You okay, Lawrence, putting the current quarterback, Eli Manning, in that class?
Putting the you know, you have to put him there simply because he played 17 years. I mean, how many guys have missed one game in 17 years?
Right.
You know, how many people do that? That is unheard of. So, hey, you got to give him credit for there.
But if you've got a big game, Lawrence, and you're on defense, would you rather have Eli Manning at quarterback or Phil Simms?
Would I?
Yeah.
No. Phil Simms, my man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm old school.
Oh, okay? Damn right.
I'm going to live or die with Phil Simms.
You lived a lot. You didn't die all that much.
Yeah, really. We didn't die all that much for that. Hey, especially when after I taught him how to play football. Okay. And that didn't come until year three. So, I taught him how to play football. Because, listen, Phil Simms used to throw the ball. All he wanted to do was throw an 80-yard pass. I said, man, there's a man open 10 yards in front of you. Throw him the goddamn ball.
That is great. Oh, my God. And I can see people listening to you, too. On the way out, 30 seconds. Listen, people don't know you like I know you. When I had to go to rehab, Lawrence, you placed a call for me. Like, you're a sweet, good guy, and you get a lot of bad press.
Oh, man,
up here.
Don't tell nobody
no,
that, man.
I know.
Hey, listen. Hey, I don't want that reputation.
I know. No, because you were on me once in Florida, and we were talking about Boomer Esiason, and you called Boomer Esiason a dickhead. Do you still feel that way about Boomer?
Well, hey, the dickhead hasn't changed.
Oh, you're the best. God, I I love you so much. I want you to go out today and shoot a 70. You hear me, Lawrence? Go on. I love
you. I get
you.
It, buddy.
You're the best. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, yeah. All right, buddy.
All right, take care. There he is, the greatest of all time. Number 56 for the football Giants. Proud to call him a friend, the great Lawrence Taylor. We'll take a short break. More of Sid Sports Sunday right after these short messages.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. 77 WABC.
Stop Donald 3, 1, 2, 3, Sunday!
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Each and every Sunday morning, 8 to 10.
Hey, go get it, sir! Let's go get it!
77 WABC.
About a minute to go. We're going to wrap it up with a new feature. I call it Producer Picks. We've got two great producers on this show. The executive producer, the great Mike Gunzelman, who's really done an amazing job. Guns, you've been amazing. And the newcomer, B-Mel, Brian Melman, joining us this week. He'll do a lot of stuff with us on the road, like next week in Bayside, Bell Boulevard. Producer Picks. Each guy makes two picks against the spread every week. And the winner gets to keep his job as producer. The
Love
loser
that.
Goes to work
Big
for Mark Malusis. All right, so here we go. What are you two picks, Guns? Quick.
I got Packers -1.5 and Houston -3.5. Let's go.
You got the Packers -1.5 in Detroit against the Lions, yep. And the Texans favored at home over Dallas tonight.
Let's go, baby.
B, Mel, what do you got, Melman?
All right, call me a homer. I'm taking the G-men, getting 7.5.
That's a homer.
No question. Saquon, OBJ going to run all day, and Arizona Cardinals getting 4.5.
Arizona Cardinals.
David
How about
Johnson,
that
big right. game.
There you have it. Bruce Clayton, great job. Say a great job, everybody here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week in Bell Boulevard in Bayside for a week 6 of the NFL. Enjoy the football, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Let's go Giants. Let's go Jets. And let's go Yanks. See ya.